And I want to get people fired up. Do a greatest college football player since the year 2000 list and just watch the world burn. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I think I'm getting that about right. You know, a list put out by ESPN, and I think they try to do a fine job there, but we have some major issues with this list, and we're asking you, who is the greatest college football player since 2000? They put in Ndamukong Suh, which is, it's an outside-the-box thought to put a defensive lineman. Suh certainly was dominant. Perloff, to me, if the list doesn't start and end with Tim Tebow, I think the list loses some credibility. Tebow wasn't even in the top five. You're talking about greatest college football players since 2000. I think Tebow has to be at the top for me, or near the top of the list.
You know, I think that was a brilliant move to put Suh. Suh is probably, I mean, it was like, have you guys ever seen the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yeah.
The one lineman,
yes,
who
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker is just an unstoppable force. That was Ndamukong Suh in college. Yeah. I've never seen a defensive player like that. So you could argue he's the best player. But if I'm doing a list like this, like you, I'm going quarterback, 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 quarterback. I understand your argument with Tebow. Tebow was part of a juggernaut, though, at Florida. I'm going for guys who stood out individually. So I go more Vince Young sort of carrying a team on his back, Cam Newton sort of carrying a team on his back. I know they had shorter-term success. You know, Tebow got two titles. But I think Vince Young is the guy. It's just sort of eyeball who's the greatest college football player since 2000 that I've seen. It's Vince Young.
So you go Vince Young, I go Tebow, and if you're asking me who my second choice is, it's Reggie Bush, who also didn't crack the top five of this list, which I thought was a little crazy, quite frankly, because Reggie Bush, you saw it, I saw it. Who cares if they took away the Heisman, then they gave it back? It doesn't matter. What we all saw from Reggie Bush was a step above. And again, if you're talking about since 2000s, we're not going back to Barry Sanders here. This is not going back to Thurman Thomas. We're talking about now. Adrian Peterson is not anywhere on this list. There's no running backs in the top five of this list.
Yeah,
in
who
terms
would you
of
put
ESPN.
On, you could argue Adrian Peterson was better than Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush, you're right. I could make that argument. Reggie Bush, to me, I just felt like I was watching something. I felt like he was so clearly head and shoulders above. He's seven on this list. He is the first running back to make the list.
Yeah, I mean, he was spectacular. But you did have Leinart on that team. You had Lendale White right next to him. I could say there's a little bit of a system thing going on.
I don't know. I
mean, Leinart won the Heisman, too.
I get that, but I think there was also, like, you know, that quarterback thing going on, which
happens. Right, well, it's just
lot.
Because every – but it was also that team. Like, everything they did was easy, it seemed like. I mean, we haven't seen a team – I guess we have offensively, but they just felt so dominant.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, certain Alabama teams have moved the ball like crazy,
yep,
too. What about, I was thinking about something. There was a bias against modern guys. I mean, really, like Caleb Williams probably belongs higher on this list.
I mean, the fact that Kyler Murray would make the list and Caleb didn't make the list.
Yeah, I just think it's hard to do this.
Who's the better quarterback?
You need some time and perspective. Obviously, Caleb won the Heisman, then came back and had another really good season. Yes, they didn't win. You get into, I mean, honestly, and do you remember RG3 in his Heisman year at Baylor? Remember,
yeah,
Jameis Winston winning at Florida State? I guess if you're going to look at guys who had 3 or 4 years, I mean, what was wrong with Trevor Lawrence at Clemson the year they won the title?
As a freshman. I mean,
yeah.
I understand. I that's why I think this list is a little tough when you have Ndamukong Suh 1 and you have Baker Mayfield 2. I mean, Baker was a great player and was captivating, no doubt. Became the number one overall pick. I don't think of him as the second greatest college football player since 2000. I just can't get there. And, you know, when it comes to snubs here, I think you're right. Jameis Winston, definitely a snub. And I think Johnny Manziel is definitely a snub.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Manziel did something. You earlier called him the Caitlin Clark of college football, which is so funny way to put it. But he brought in a whole new level of fame and eyeballs that was
He's Johnny
rare.
Football.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Johnny Football. He came out of nowhere. He was a little guy from Kerrville, Texas. It was just an era was defined by Johnny Manziel. So, again, you're getting what's most impactful or best player. I'm not sure, but he was also an outstanding player. You know, this was when the spread, you know, that year it was 2012 or somewhere around there. The spread had just sort of become widespread.
Yep.
That Art Briles and air raid stuff, and nobody could stop anybody. So I do think that you have to look at the era, but he was unstoppable. Hey, one thing, wide receivers, it's very interesting. They have Justin Blackmon, from Oklahoma State on here, who was amazing.
Awesome.
But that was a pure, wide open, crazy spread. I saw they had Calvin Johnson, who didn't do anything in college because they never threw him the ball, and Michael Crabtree. Marvin Harrison Jr., he's one of the, he's got to be one. Could he have made this list? I know it's recent, but he's the best kind of wide receiver I've seen in a long time.
I think he could definitely make the list. And the first wide receiver that's on this list is Larry Fitzgerald at number 10. It's funny that Pitt gets two players here in the top 25 with Larry Fitzgerald and Aaron Donald.
Larry Fitzgerald did get a lot of Heisman love, so that makes sense. I do worry. I wonder if that's a little bit of college into NFL bias. But there's got to be, I don't know, it just feels like the list is a little bit off. What about a spread quarterback like Marcus Mariota? Is that all Chip Kelly, and that's why Mariota's on hire? Because he had a bunch of good years.
He was on a list that was the first 10 out. So an honorable mention along with RG3, with Calvin Johnson, and Trevor Lawrence is there. Also Christian McCaffrey, someone who we haven't mentioned, but McCaffrey was obviously a Heisman finalist.
McCaffrey, but was he impactful at Stanford?
Yes. I mean, yes, he was.
Was he as good as Toby Gerhardt at Stanford? I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Probably.
But I just think that, to me, it's like Vince Young, Tim Tebow, who really impacted the sport, Johnny Manziel, guys who were front and center, I would have put higher up on this list.
Okay, so the top five for ESPN was Ndamukong Suh, then Baker Mayfield. Three was Cam Newton. Four was Vince Young, and five was Ed Reed. You go back to those early 2000s Miami teams, which I know, EJ, this is right in your wheelhouse as the big Hurricanes fan here, and I do think Ed Reed did stand out. They have Bryant McKinney, the offensive lineman, also on this list, but I do think Ed Reed is there. I was surprised Sean Taylor, though, did not make the list and did not make the first 10 out. Now, it was two seasons for Taylor, 11 interceptions 1 year. I mean, Sean Taylor, may he rest in peace, I thought should have been on this list.
I agree. I thought Sean Taylor was a big omission. I know Ed Reed being that high was surprising to some, but Ed Reed had 17 touchdowns and 4 picks in 2 years. I mean, he was the dominant player on the Miami defense in that championship year.
Yeah, because the quarterbacks were terrified of the four first-round picks on the front line just chucking the ball into the air. I mean, that's the thing. There were so many defenders.
Again, as someone who lived and died by those teams, Ed Reed was the heart and soul of those teams. He was the lifeblood of those teams. He really got the team to go. It went beyond even just the stats in terms of his impact. But yeah, Sean Taylor, I mean, you want to talk about ferocious, you want to talk about one of the most feared players in college football. I mean, go over the middle and see Sean Taylor standing there. I was surprised he missed the cut. As a Miami fan, I thought he should have been in there. They should have had two Miami safeties in that top 25.
I mean, look at this. First of all, I don't even think Ed Reed was the highest drafted guy in that secondary. Entrell Roll is there. And Vince Wilfork and Jonathan Vilma. And
Vince Wilfork did not make the list at all. I was surprised by that.
I mean, it's like the entire Miami team. Philip Buchanan, everybody. He had an NFL player in every position. And here's the thing. Ed Reed played two seasons in the 90s. I would ding it. And the writer of the list did talk about that. There are guys who crossed over that maybe that dings it. Five just seems high for Ed Reed. I mean, is Honey Badger on this list? I think he is. But
he is on the list.
One of the great safeties, too. I have trouble putting a safety at number five.
But Perloff, the 2 years I talked about, the 17 picks in those 2 years, those are both in the new millennium. So if you're talking about Ed Reed as a starter, those 2 years, Miami lost only one game, and he had a touchdown in one of the biggest games in Miami history that saved the 2001 season against BC. He took the ball away from a defensive lineman and ran it back for a touchdown. That saved Miami's perfect season. I mean, he had some impactful moments that maybe get forgotten because it was so long ago. But Ed Reed was an absolutely dominant college football player. Two picks against FSU also in that last season with Miami.
Yeah, it's so weird, though, to hear you advocate for a guy who is on your team. It's just, is that why? That's well, this a cousin to the Jalen Brunson is the best player on earth?
He's number five. He's number five. So it's not like I'm the only one saying it. I'm saying that they got it right.
I still think without Tim Tebow at the top of the list, I think that this is lacking. At 855-212-4227, you are welcome to weigh in. We'll ask you who is the greatest college football player since 2000. So we're not going all the way back, just a little bit back. Turn of the century stuff.
Yeah, got to go quarterback. If we were doing the 80s and 90s, it'd be running back. Barry Sanders, Thurman Thomas, go down the list. But it's just, unfortunately for your guy, Reggie Bush, who I love, you got to put Cam Newton over him.
Can I make a case for a non-Miami guy who didn't make this list?
Go ahead.
And you guys mentioned him earlier. Matt Leinart not being on this list is ridiculous.
Yeah,
like that to me, you guys think about Johnny Manziel. that's 3 years of dominant play by Matt Leiner. I mean, multiple Heisman Trophy finalists, obviously won a Heisman Trophy, and almost won three straight national championships. They won two, one that's kind of like debated, but they won the first year. Second year, of course, they dominated Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl, and they lose that game to Texas. But Matt Leiner, I know his pro career was not good at all. He was a great college quarterback. I almost also feel like it's a little bit of a bias because he was a pocket guy. Everyone at that time, we were starting to move towards the spread guy, so we loved the Mariotas and the Manziels and the Tebows and the Cams. But, Leiner was a surgeon in that USC offense.
I think
as good a quarterback as I've seen.
EJ, I think it's partly because he didn't do anything in the NFL. I think that influenced the list. Like, Khalil Mack is 13, in part because he's a great NFL player. So I think that I think that's what hurt Leiner. What about Manti Te'o, by the way?
Did not make the list and was not an honorable mention either.
There's so much noise around Manti Te'o. The story is so famous. It's almost hard to remember how good a player he was because we got so caught up in the scandal and the fake girlfriend.
Right. But, like, of all the things, if you're going to go, okay, off the field stuff, right, and maybe that's a reason partially why Jameis Winston's not on the list or some other guys, but this was such a ridiculously different type of off-field thing that you can't really hold that against Manti Te'o. I think what came out here is just the lack of pro success. But to not have him and Aidan Hutchinson, two guys who were defensive players who were Heisman finalists,
I mean,
to me is pretty crazy.
Night and day. I mean, Manti Te'o was such a big star. Aidan Hutchinson was really good, but it's not even the same conversation in my you know, as far as college football stardom, at least. I don't think Manti Te'o did anything wrong. He was a victim.
A victim of all this.
He lied, but he was still a victim.
Right. It's like, and then he knew and kind of kept the ruse going that his girlfriend had died of this, you know, of cancer or whatever, and he knew it was not real. And he let everybody feel bad
The other thing about Manti Te'o, I think that hurt him, was that championship game was a bad look. I know he was dealing with a lot because all this stuff was coming in on him, but the visual of watching Alabama just run all over them, and you're like, oh, wait, this guy's kind of small, and these offensive linemen are just pushing him around. Like, is he actually that good? And he had an amazing year. Like, no one could deny how great he was during the regular season. But it was almost like he went up against a real, quote-unquote, real team, and maybe he got exposed. I think maybe some of that shine got taken off when it came to making this list because of that national championship game against Alabama.
So I was there for that beatdown in person. It was in Miami. And it was, first of all, it was shocking because Notre Dame was very good that year, and they were worthy of being in that game. And Alabama took them to the woodshed. We had all of our post-game recap stuff done by the middle of the third quarter. We were trying to figure out more content to put out for SI because we're like, well, the game just gave us absolutely nothing.
Wow, to me, everything you're saying is not fair to Manti Te'o. Of course Alabama blew out Notre Dame in that game. Notre Dame had no chance, and it wasn't on Manti Te'o. They just weren't in the same level of talent.
Right, but that's not how people felt going into the game.
I don't remember
what the spread was off the top of my head.
It was probably a touchdown. Even beyond the blowout, I think it was also just, Alabama just ran all over them. Like, it wasn't just, oh, we're going to throw the ball at, well, Manti Te'o was a run stopper. So
I think
that the visual, I'm not saying it was fair or unfair. I'm saying I think the visual of that is why he didn't make this list. And maybe it was unfortunate because he was a great player.
I think that's unfair. I mean, and Dominican Sue didn't even make any noise in any kind of bowl or title threat. They were 10-point favorite, Alabama.
Was
in that
it 10-point favorite?
Yeah, so they were big underdogs. Here's another name on here. Luke Kuechly made the honorable mention. Like, that's because he was at a Hall of Fame level pro guy. I mean, he was probably really good. I don't know. And Robert Gallery made this almost list. That's because he went number two overall in the draft. Dwight Freeney at Syracuse. Were these guys really that great? I have no idea.
Really was that great.
Yeah, but I mean, if he wasn't an NFL superstar, would he be on this list?
Dwight Freeney's literally going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys. I mean, there's hundreds of guys who are in the Hall of Fame. Like, he played at Syracuse. That was a non-entity at all.
It was, but he was a standout.
But he was there. They were pretty good, though.
Yeah, they weren't bad when he was there.
Yeah.
He played 98-99.
Paul Pasqualoni? I got to double-check that.
Yeah, non-entity. Just, I mean, we're talking about a list with Johnny Manziel, who, you know, this, I'm sorry, Dwight Freeney at Syracuse does not belong on here.
I don't disagree. 855-212-4227. Also, he was honorable mention. He wasn't actually on the list. We're asking you, who is the greatest college football player since 2000? I say it's Tebow. Perloff says Vince Young. EJ, you're going with?
I would go Tim Tebow. I think that's multiple years of production. Vince Young was great, but it was 1 year of production.
I think Reggie Bush makes a strong case here as well. What say you? 855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff. Coming up, we do have some more football news for you. Do you know there's a preseason game in 2 days?
Oh, yeah.
2 days. We get the Hall of Fame game. We'll tell you what's going on with Caleb Williams in that game next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I was just laughing. I was just thinking about it. You left the last time where you go, Perloff, can you believe there's a football game on Thursday? Well, the Hall of Fame game, it sneaks up on you every year, doesn't it? And then the funny thing is they go to these awkward interviews with the Hall of Fame inductees who sometimes aren't in great shape. Thinking about you.
So sad.
Yeah, it's always the most awkward football game of the year. Like, you're not seeing anybody who is going to be first team. Usually they don't play. I know Caleb Williams wants to play for Chicago. He's probably not going to play. So it's like a B-level football. It feels like a practice. It's just an odd production.
Wait, didn't last year...
It was Revis. Darrell Revis was the most recent one that people were joking about his weight gain.
I believe our colleague Tommy Lugauer said it looks like he ate Revis Island.
Yeah.
Which was not fair, but wasn't DeMarcus Ware, didn't he sing the national anthem?
Yes.
That was
yes.
Cool. Multi-talented guy. We're asking you, who is the greatest college football player since 2000? James is in Idaho. He's got a submission for us. Hey, James.
Hello. Kellen Moore of Boise State is probably one of the greatest that has played since 2000. He had 15-3 record, winningest quarterback of all time. And at the time, he was top 10 in yardage and touchdown passes.
You know, he's got 43 touchdowns his final season at Boise State in 2011. This is Perloff's new offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. James, thank you. Kellen Moore was definitely a huge deal when he was at Boise State.
If you look up quarterbacks who are awesome in college, who did not really have a chance in the NFL, Kellen Moore, that's the picture right there. I mean, he was so good.
Yep.
Just the NFL just did not like that kind of air raidy short quarterback.
43 touchdowns to 9 picks. It's crazy stats.
Yeah, totally like that one. I hope he is now going to translate that to the Philadelphia Eagles offense.
Yeah, what's your level of confidence on that one?
I'm pretty mixed on Kellen Moore, to be honest, because it did seem like the Cowboys got a little better offensively when he left. It felt like Mike McCarthy did a better job. So that's what we got. The problem with the Eagles is not Kellen Moore individually talented. Vic Fangio, defense coordinator, individually talented. Do all the parts work together? Is the head coach, your friend Nick Sirianni, keeping it all together? Who's in charge here? I know who it is.
Well, Howie Roseman.
Howie Roseman, the GM, is in charge at the end of the day. So the whole mix of guys kind of makes me nervous.
Yeah, but the problem when the GM is the one that's really in charge is... that, I don't think, has ever done much for team chemistry, clearly.
Absolutely.
Because the coach is the one who's kind of setting the tone, or should be setting the tone in the locker room. And the GM's got to be careful, I think, about how they, you know, impede on the coach's turf.
Well, that's a much bigger conversation. It gets to baseball, too, where now the GMs run the league. But last year, the Eagles, for example, put Matt Patricia in as defensive coordinator midway through the season. Then the entire defense just quit on him. I think you're right. I think the players can't respect the front office. Those are the guys who cut them. Those are the guys who are not giving them money. It's got to come from the coaches. So even if Kellen Moore is brilliant, I don't know. It feels like a lot more going on.
I mean, the fact that someone asked Nick Sirianni, what do you do here? Is an all-time. And the fact that that wasn't the worst question ever asked at a press conference. In fact, it was just straight-up journalism.
Oh,
what do you do here?
Even Nick Sirianni understands that. Like, I don't know.
Beats me.
That's what you get when you get the wide receiver coach from the Colts who's just really good relationship. He's a relationship guy. That's what you know. What does Matt Rhule do? I always wonder, like, he's not a coordinator either. What did John Harbaugh? He was a special teams coach. To be a great coach, you got to be a leader,
okay,
Maggie.
But here's the thing about Nick Sirianni. He's a relationship guy, and the whole team imploded last year. Where was he then? What was he doing with the relationships between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown last year? Patch that one up.
It was really the defense gave up.
Okay, well then get somebody, light a fire under somebody's ass. Like, what do you do? That's all you're here.
Listen, the guy got to within 3 points of winning a Super Bowl.
I know he did. So did Doug Peterson, actually won the thing, and they showed him the door. Okay, 855-212-4227. We're asking who is the greatest college football player since 2000. Our pal Big Dave is in Kentucky. Good morning, Warden. How you doing?
What's up, guys?
Football's almost here. Dave, can you feel
it?
Well,
it is, ain't it?
I know.
Yep. My favorite time of the year, almost.
You know what happens with me since we moved to the suburbs? We live really close to the high school in our town. We're like behind it. So I know when football's starting because I can hear the band practice from my house.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, listen,
that's
man,
beautiful.
Down here, high school football's huge. I mean, it's one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite times of the year. You know, we've got a great program down here where I live, and it's awesome. On the poll question, I'm with you, Mags. I think it's kind of hard to argue against Tim Tebow on the best college player. But, you know, it got me thinking about a player that I wouldn't say he's the greatest, but he was one of the most impactful players that just really didn't make it in the NFL, was LeVar Arrington. I mean, remember him from Penn State?
Oh, man. Remember that? There's one famous highlight where he blew up a guy. Was it on a punt play or something? It was
Oh, God,
crazy.
Yes. Actually, there was a couple of those. But man, he was a beast. I mean, he really was.
But, listen, Dave, if you're going to do one, if you want to do one play, Jadeveon Clowney's tackling the Michigan guy is the greatest college football defensive play we've ever seen.
No argument here. No argument here. Hey, listen, like to kind of started calling yesterday, had to run, but let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys for a second. You want to?
Sure. You're not still boycotting?
Oh, absolutely. This is for pure entertainment purposes.
Okay. What do you got?
It came to me what this is all about. You know, I've said for a while that the Cowboys are going 8-9 this year. I mean, it's going to be it may be worse than that. Everything's going to blow up. But Jerry has a plan. Dak leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Shedeur Sanders is on the radar. I can see it now.
Now we're talking,
Dave.
Jerry
wants. It's what he wants, man. Bring a new act to the circus that is the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not being over the top either. I honestly think that that's his plan.
I think somewhere in that Frisco building, there is a Sanders jersey being printed right now, Dave. I think you just nailed it.
Well, Dave, here's the question. If you're talking about Shedeur being the next quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, does he bring Deion with him?
Possibly, but at least he's on the outside of the ring, you know, which is good enough for Jerry sometimes.
Yeah.
You talk about like as a head coach.
Yeah.
You don't need him as a head coach. Just bring him as a sports dad.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry's all about the circus, man. I don't know about the head coach. I think Jerry could do it. I mean, he's done more absurd things in the past. But I'm serious about this. I mean, I really think it sometime last night it came to me. I thought, you know, this is the plan. This is the plan. Add a whole new act to the circus that is the Dallas Cowboys. So
I'll tell you what, Dave, you know, they were talking about in Oxnard, 75% of the bleachers were empty. One of the reporters from The Athletic was saying that. You get Shedeur, you're going to put butts in the seats.
Absolutely. That's what JJ's all about. Thanks, guys. Have a great morning.
See you, Dave. Thanks for chiming in. Yeah, we could see it. Shedeur with the Cowboys. The question is, how high is Shedeur going to go in the draft?
I mean, there are some people think Shedeur is a second rounder. I mean, I got to measure Shedeur. I need to know exactly how tall that dude is. I want to get in. I mean,
how are you gonna
I
do
need
this?
To smell him.
This is like, are you going to try to like sidle up to him at the combine or something and like do
and just
your
drop
face
a tape
versus...
measure?
Well, they actually technically, I believe they do put a tape measure. So he's listed at 6'2",
which means he's 6 feet.
I just don't know. He doesn't look big. I mean, he doesn't look small. He's listed at 6'2", 215. If he's that, he's fine. But we're talking number one overall. We'll see. Also, will he survive this year in Colorado?
Well, that's the big part. I mean, who cares about being short? Baker Mayfield, according to ESPN, is the second greatest college football player since the year 2000. So
I feel like we've glossed over that.
It's a bad choice.
What the hell was that?
Yeah.
He did plant the flag. That was super cool.
Okay.
That was cool.
I enjoy Baker Mayfield.
More importantly, he won at Ohio State, which led to the flag planting. But I don't know. You can't get by off of just that. Oh, let's go to Lawrence, who's in California. He's got a good one that we have not mentioned yet. Lawrence, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're good. Who's the greatest college football player since 2000?
I'm trying to understand how it's not Michael Vick.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Look at the numbers, though, Lawrence. You'd be surprised. I've done Michael Vick's college numbers. Like, he didn't throw the ball. He didn't run the ball. He didn't do much at all at Virginia Tech.
Is that
he took a lot of ACLs, though.
What's that?
said he took some ACLs.
He took some ACLs. Yes, he was all over the field. Yeah. Just his dead bodies.
His highlights are insane. And he did go number one overall. He obviously did something. But he just, Virginia Tech was, I guess, like a defensive-oriented team. He was awesome, no doubt. But if you just look at the numbers, there's no way he can be on this list.
It is crazy. The passing numbers are just not there.
Look at the running numbers aren't there.
What is going on here? Which is funny. Also, one other thing, Lawrence, and I like the call on Michael Vick as the greatest college football player since 2000, but his first year was 99.
Yeah, that's it. That's the thing. Right. Dave mentioned LeVar Arrington. I think Arrington missed. He graduated in 99 from Penn State, or left Penn State in 99. So he probably might have made this list.
I mean, such a, like, talk about linebacker you. Yes.
Sorry, we were mentioning quarterbacks from mid-majors. I think one that was missing that I forgot about that I think should have made this list is Cole Brennan. Third in the Heisman is last year at Hawaii. He set the record for most touchdowns. Cole Brennan was awesome.
I mean, you can't do Cole Brennan.
Wait, hold on one second.
You can if you're the GM of the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors in EA 25, which I think EJ is.
Wait, hold on. Andy is calling from Michigan, who was going to say Cole Brennan, Andy.
I know you guys almost stole my thunder.
To be fair, EJ can't see the call screener. He's home with a torn up knee. But you wanted to say Cole Brennan. Make your point.
Well, I mean, if you're going on a numbers basis, this guy lit it up. I mean, he was in a system that just generated stats after stats. He had what? I think he still holds a record, NCAA record, 58 touchdowns in 2006. I mean, his stats for over 3 years were absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
over 5,500 yards passing.
He didn't do anything in the pros either.
He's the second most prolific Hawaii quarterback behind Tommy Chang.
Right.
Oh, sorry, Timmy Chang.
Yeah.
Was it Timmy or Tommy? Who's Tommy
Timmy.
Chang?
Timmy Chang. Right now.
But if you're going to do Cole Brennan, you got to do Case Keenum. What are we doing here? Case has every record.
Yeah, but see, Case played for a decade.
Yeah, but Case's
Andy,
individual numbers.
You.
So did Cole Brennan. Case has every single. He out Cole Brennan and Cole Brennan.
Case literally could have like multiple PhDs. And this is not his fault. He was medical redshirted a few times. It was just some bad luck.
But. Case had three seasons where he played. He had 44 touchdowns, 44 touchdowns, 48 touchdowns. And he's never going to be caught. He only played really three seasons. He's never going to be caught in yards either. And thank you, Cliff Kingsbury. Basically did a lot of, well, Kingsbury was there 1 year. But if you're going to go system quarterbacks, Graham Harrell. I mean, you could go through the list. I'd look at anybody who played for Mike Leach had Cole Brennan like numbers. So I can't put Cole Brennan. I do love the name, though.
I mean, this was one of the big knocks on Mahomes.
It was, yeah, I know.
And he's obviously not near this list. Bogish, we've gone far enough. We need to get to headlines now, but you're still welcome to call in 855-212-4227. Who is the greatest college football player since 2000?
And we have to get to Perloff's current favorite basketball team. And I stress current because it could be different by tomorrow lunchtime.
Team USA?
No, it is Team Canada floor right now in Lille, France, taking on Australia. That's a big time Group A showdown. And Canada down at halftime now leads 58-54. 6 minutes to go in that third quarter. Our neighbors to the north, led by R.J. Barrett and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They each have 12 points, 11 for Dylan Brooks. Spain has already outscored Greece today, 84-77, despite 27 points and 11 boards from Giannis. His country now 0-2 in Group A. And Coco Gauff losing in straight sets to Donna Vekic in round 3 of women's tennis. Maggie, I share your surprise that there's a football game on Thursday night. Bears-Texans in Canton, Hall of Fame game. Caleb Williams wants to play. He knows he needs the reps, but he also knows this is not his call. Either way, the number one pick, feeling good about week one in September.
I'm on track to be ready. Exactly where, you know, I need to be and where they want me to be. I'm excited. Every day I wake up, I'm learning something new.
Good job, Caleb. Learn something new every day.
But that was fine.
I think he should play.
No. You don't play the Hall of Fame game because you don't know that field. I say you avoid it like the plague if you're Caleb Williams.
He can't play one series?
Just wait till the next game.
I mean, one series, that doesn't matter. like if you want to play a couple to actually get some practice, not
no,
in this game.
But you're going against even like fourth stringers. Just yeah. stay out of this one and get in the next one.
What's the trend now for rookies?
No, the Hall of Fame game, nobody insignificant ever plays in that game.
No, I'm talking about just preseason in general.
Oh, yeah, the rookies always play, don't they?
The rookie quarterbacks, even the ones who are going to start, they generally do, right?
I would think.
I think the guys last year, I think they played.
I think an interesting debate is, does Aaron Rodgers play?
I bet he'll lobby to play. He shouldn't, but he might lobby
to
play.
Well, don't you want to see your first action maybe in, I don't know. Do you really want your first game be week one? That seems scary, too.
Well, the thing is, it will definitely be his choice. Unlike Caleb Williams, Aaron Rodgers will actually get to make the choice, and he's definitely earned that. Thinking about the Hall of Fame game, you mentioned it about the awkward, like, on-the-field interviews. So who do you think is going to lead the pack? Here are your nominees who are getting in. You have Dwight Freeney.
Great talker.
Devin Hester.
Mm.
He has had a long media career.
He's never a great interview, as I recall, but go ahead.
Isn't he a cop? He's an FBI agent, isn't he? Andre Johnson.
No, you're thinking Peanut Tillman.
Oh, I'm thinking of Tillman. Yeah. Andre Johnson.
Terrible interview.
Steve McMichael.
Great interview.
Julius Peppers.
Great interview.
And Patrick Willis.
You know, he actually never said anything as a player, but he's had some good interviews lately. He was the most terrifying linebacker I ever remember.
Yeah.
I don't know. He went to Ole Miss, right? He didn't make this college list. Julius Peppers was mentioned.
I thought Julius Peppers was low on this list. He was like 23 or something.
Oh, if we're talking basketball, yes. Oh, my God. He was a beast at power forward for that team.
Bogish, what else do we have, sir?
I'm just checking right now. C.J. Stroud did play the Texans' first preseason game last year.
I would think a rookie would. I don't have any background, but they would always have a rookie there, right? I mean, you can't let the rookie just play week one. So Caleb will play down the road in the preseason.
He played the first two, didn't play the third.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And Davis Mills always played more than him in those first two ones. So you'd think we'll see Caleb at some point, but not Thursday.
No. The Hall of Fame game is an exceptional preseason game. It's very, very early. But then, what is it, next Friday after that is when it all debuts?
I didn't know Thursday was happening, so I can't help you after Thursday.
Nobody did.
Yeah, a lot happened during last night's Diamondbacks Nationals game. First up is TV voice Steve Berthume coming back from break and noticing a T-shirt on a teenaged boy in the crowd.
All right, I found my new favorite T-shirt ever. The guy on the right. I can't. I'm a moron. There it is on tape and everything for the director. They'll use that, wear it out.
Berthume did not know he was confirming that he is a moron because the shirt didn't say, I can't, I'm a moron. It said, I can't, I'm Mormon, which is a significant difference.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a great shirt, by the way. I'm Mormon is a very funny shirt. That's a Mormon with a really good sense of humor.
So is I can't, I'm a moron. I would wear that shirt too,
I'm a moron doesn't make any sense. The I can't, I'm Mormon makes sense because you can't drink alcohol.
Right.
You can't.
But
you
if you're a moron, there are things you can't do, like read T-shirts.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, as for the game, Washington took an 8-4 lead into the bottom of the ninth.
There goes Gurriel. The pitch swung on, hit well. Deep to right. Back it goes. Gone! Oh. Corbin Carroll! A two-run pinch hit walk-off homer is the final blow of an improbable come-from-behind win.
Using CB radios in Arizona these days. 9-8 win for Arizona.
Was that guy running the board for that?
He's the board ops the moron.
Yeah. Sorry.
They're a half game behind the Mets and Padres for the last two NL wild cards. Washington sent outfielder Lane Thomas to Cleveland yesterday, and in a three-way trade, the Dodgers end up with Cardinals infielder Tommy Edman and White Sox reliever Michael Kopech. St. Louis gets starter Eric Fetty and outfielder Tommy Pham from Chicago. The White Sox end up with prospects. The trade deadline is 6 Eastern today. Guys?
I just found on Amazon you can find a flag that says, I can't, I'm a moron, and it's only $6. Should I buy it?
Right.
Hang it up in the studio?
You should.
A little more set decoration?
Yeah,
definitely.
All right, well, let's buy it then.
Combine that with the loser hat. We could bring back the loser mentality.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I got our poop hat over here. We should give this to the triathletes who are swimming in Paris. This is like.
Do they have a poop swim cap?
This is it. If you're watching on YouTube, Twitch, or on X, Yeah, this is what you get instead of a medal. It's a poop emoji wizard hat.
The loser hat, the moron flag, random jerseys. It adds to the motif.
Right.
Yes, we have a theme. I'm a little worried this flag's a little too cheap. $6? That's really cheap.
Is it a full flag, Maggie, or is it one of those like hand flags that you wave just like, you know, kind of like at like a 4th of July parade or whatever?
Like a washcloth.
No, no. If this is true to scale, I'm seeing it outside of someone's home being displayed like a flag.
I want to see that guy.
Let's see if I can get some dimensions on this thing. It's Yeah, you're right. It might actually be small. I might be getting hosed here. Let me look around.
Don't be a moron. Don't buy it.
Yeah. Maybe this is like an idiot test.
Take your time.
Like, who's the idiot who will buy the I can't, I'm a moron
flag?
We
got one. Hey, Cliff, we got one.
Maggie Gray. Sounds familiar.
And you know somehow that'll find its way on Awful Announcing. Like some guy will go to Awful Announcing. Hey, you know Maggie Gray of Infinity Sports Network bought an I'm a moron flag?
And it never came in the mail. How about that?
And then you call to complain about it. You didn't get your flag. Oh, yes.
Call the hotline.
I did not get my flag. Name is Gray, Maggie Gray.
It's a person being like, please press 1 if you wanted a moron flag.
Click. Gotcha.
It'll be the second time a Maggie and Perloff host gets her hacked this week.
Oh. Ben Stiller ever get back to you?
Last week, but yeah.
Wounds still fresh.
Sorry.
All right. See you guys on the phones. Hang, because we like these submissions you have. Who is the greatest college football player since the year 2000? I love all these. We'll get to you in a moment. It's Maggie and Perloff. Who is the greatest college football player since the year 2000? We are asking that question this morning. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. My choice for this exercise is Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is the greatest college football player since 2000. Perloff went with
Vince Young.
Let's
Hello.
Go to the phones, 855-212-4227. Levi's in Arkansas. Good morning, Levi.
Good morning, Maggie.
You probably
assume me being from Arkansas. Can someone, for the love of Cthulhu, please say Darren McFadden? I mean, this guy was trucking people. I mean, it was the funnest thing to watch. He also played quarterback a couple of times. You know, I think he originated the Wildcat here in Arkansas, at least. And then he was definitely second in the Heisman under your boy Tim Tebow 1 year. I think that was Tebow's second to win.
I think he came in second in the Heisman twice, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Yeah, he didn't have a great pro career, but man, was he great in college.
He's got the best highlight reel. He's like an 80s high. He's like Marcus Dupree. I love Darren McFadden. Yeah, it's funny.
Oh,
He probably should have made this list, actually. No joke.
No, I know. I can't believe he didn't. That's insane to me. But, yeah, totally, Darren McFadden is so much fun to watch. If you haven't watched his highlights, do it, and you will chuckle to death.
Levi, thank you so much. Calls from Arkansas, always welcome on this show. And we're excited to follow another
he was
fun
caught
Arkansas
up too,
season.
Yes? Because there was another – they had another running back, too. I can't remember who was – Felix Jones was, I think, there with McFadden. Or they were both – they could have run back in the day. Yeah, if you're going to do fun running backs, then this list is very light.
It was McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillis.
Oh, man.
All on the same team. Chris is in California, has a nominee for us. Who is the greatest college football player since 2000? Hey, Chris.
Hey, it's got to be Christian McCaffrey. He got robbed for the Heisman by Derrick Henry. And, thanks.
Yeah, Chris, appreciate you. I remember interviewing Christian McCaffrey when he was in New York for the Heisman and then obviously went back to Stanford after that. McCaffrey was amazing. He's not on this list. He's an honorable mention. 2,000 yards from over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. I mean, he was great. I don't know what else to say.
Well, that's again, like...
Was he better than Reggie Bush, though? Was he better than Adrian Peterson? I don't think so.
So, I think that's... at the time, I thought it was a system. Stanford had all those great linemen. Toby Gerhardt had 2,028 rushing yards his senior year. I think he was second in Heisman, too, or he was close. So I thought, oh, McCaffrey's just another Stanford running back. They've had a lot of great running backs, because that's all they do is they have great offensive lines and great running backs. Then he turned out to have a great pro career, which I think helps him. Like, did we really know Christian McCaffrey was a historic player at that point?
Well, he really was he the Heisman. Like,
yeah, but I mean, he wasn't. Toby Gerhardt was arguably better. I mean, he was an all-time. I think Gerhardt was challenging, like, every possible record.
Who was the quarterback when Gerhardt was there, though?
I think one of them had luck.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was Kevin Hogan for McCaffrey's time at Stanford. Anyway, 855-212-4227. So Christian McCaffrey for the ESPN list was an honorable mention. He did not make the top 25, though. For Perloff and I, we'll go through our top three. I had Tebow 1, Reggie Bush 2, and Vince Young 3. And Perloff, your top three was what?
I went with Vince Young, Cam Newton, Joe Burrow.
There you go.
Tim Tebow 4, don't get mad at me.
855.
Anybody up there?
212-4227. Okay, so you're welcome to keep that coming and let us know what you think. I wanted to ask this question to the group. I've been into the Olympics. I mentioned I was tearing up yesterday watching the men's gymnastics. They got the bronze. Good for them. They had had a medal drought, Perloff, that had lasted from 2008. Here's a question, and it's a fun one, from our friend Julie Stewart Binks, who's been covering the Olympics for Canadian television. And I ask you this. What sport do you think you could legitimately compete in at the Olympics if you had to today? If you had to, someone's like, quick, we need you. You've got to compete in this one sport, and it's got to be today. You cannot prep at all. Is there anything you could possibly do and not make a 100% complete fool out of yourself?
Archery.
You think what? You'd hit the target, EJ?
It's really far away, EJ. Have you ever been on one of those? It's really, really far away.
Well, I have one knee, so I'm going based off. What's the thing I don't have to move and maybe I could sit doing it? Or I can actually stand, so I can actually stand doing it. That's the one thing I think of where I don't have to move.
I mean, we could get you in the pool. Isn't that a lot of rehab stuff goes on as EJ's home?
Yeah, I think I may be months away from the pool rehab.
Perloff, you got anything?
Yeah, I saw Snoop Dogg fencing.
Yeah.
And I felt like he held his own. If he has no training or experience, I think I could fence.
And who knows what's going on? And you're hidden behind a mask.
So. Yeah, and I mean, that is a sport of nerds, not the sport of kings. So there are a lot of Ivy League dork types who fence. I think I could compete.
My only prayer in this world would be if somehow I got blackout drunk and started breakdancing. And then I would have to like have something where I even surprise myself. Like somehow this is deep down in the recesses of my brain that if I took enough shots of Jägermeister or something and got onto a dance floor, maybe I could break.
I would say that every single Olympic sport, including Team USA women's basketball, you are furthest away from breaking, because I've seen the videos of them. Their athleticism, and you're a good athlete, you would be the single worst. I mean, no, you are so far. Wait till you see what these people can do.
Prof, it's the only thing drinking would help me. Like, I can't go have shots of Jägermeister and go try to return serves against somebody.
You'd probably be better at archery after 3 years.
Maybe.
We're all better at bowling.
That's true. We need that to be an Olympic sport.
Breaking. By the way, I could cancel the whole Olympics and go straight to breaking, and I'm fine.
855-212-4227. Coming up, what you need to know before the MLB trade deadline, which is in a few hours.
Two didn't play the third.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And Davis Mills always played more than him in those first two ones. So you'd think we'll see Caleb at some point, but not Thursday.
No. The Hall of Fame game is an exceptional preseason game. It's very, very early. But then, what is it, next Friday after that is when it all debuts?
I didn't know Thursday was happening, so I can't help you after Thursday.
Nobody did.
Yeah, a lot happened during last night's Diamondbacks Nationals game. First up is TV voice Steve Berthume coming back from break and noticing a T-shirt on a teenaged boy in the crowd.
All right, I found my new favorite T-shirt ever. The guy on the right. I can't. I'm a moron. There it is on tape and everything for the director. They'll use that, wear it out.
Berthume did not know he was confirming that he is a moron because the shirt didn't say, I can't, I'm a moron. It said, I can't, I'm Mormon, which is a significant difference.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a great shirt, by the way. I'm Mormon is a very funny shirt. That's a Mormon with a really good sense of humor.
So is I can't, I'm a moron. I would wear that shirt too, but
I'm a moron doesn't make any sense. The I can't, I'm Mormon makes sense because you can't drink alcohol.
Right.
You can't.
But if you're a moron, there are things you can't do, like read t-shirts.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, as for the game, Washington took an 8-4 lead into the bottom of the ninth.
There goes Gurriel. The pitch swung on, hit well. Deep to right. Back it goes. Gone! Oh. Corbin Carroll! A 2-run pinch hit walk-off homer is the final blow of an improbable come-from-behind win.
Using CB radios in Arizona these days. 9-8 win for Arizona.
Was that guy running the board for that?
He's the board ops moron.
Sorry.
They're a half game behind the Mets and Padres for the last two NL wild cards. Washington sent outfielder Lane Thomas to Cleveland yesterday, and in a three-way trade, the Dodgers end up with Cardinals infielder Tommy Edman and White Sox reliever Michael Kopech. St. Louis gets starter Eric Fetty and outfielder Tommy Pham from Chicago. The White Sox end up with prospects. The trade deadline is 6 Eastern today. Guys?
I just found on Amazon you can find a flag that says, I can't, I'm a moron, and it's only $6. Should I buy it?
Right.
Hang it up in the studio?
You should.
A little more set decoration?
Yeah,
definitely.
All right, well. Let's buy it then.
Combine that with the loser hat. We could bring back the loser mentality.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I got our poop hat over here. We should give this to the triathletes who are swimming in Paris. This is like,
do they have a poop swim cap?
This is it. If you're watching on YouTube, Twitch, or on X, yeah, this is what you get instead of a medal. It's a poop emoji wizard hat.
The loser hat, the moron flag, random jerseys. It adds to the motif.
Right.
Yes, we have a theme. I'm a little worried this flag's a little too cheap. $6? That's really
cheap.
Well,
is it a full flag, Maggie, or is it one of those like hand flags that you wave just like, you know, kind of like at like a 4th of July
size
parade or whatever?
Like a washcloth.
No. I mean, if this is true to scale, I'm seeing it outside of someone's home being displayed like a flag.
I want to see that guy.
Let's see if I can get some dimensions on this thing. It's Yeah, you're right. It might actually be small. I might be getting hosed here. Let me look around.
Don't be a moron. Don't buy it.
Yeah. Maybe this is like an idiot test.
Take your time.
Who's the idiot who will buy the I can't, I'm a moron
flag? We got
flag.
One. Hey, Cliff, we got one.
Maggie Gray. Sounds familiar.
And you know somehow that'll find its way on awful announcing. Like some guy will go to an awful announcing. Hey, you know Maggie Gray of Infinity Sports Network bought an I'm a moron flag?
And it never came in the mail. How about that?
And then you call to complain about it. You didn't get your flag. Oh, yes.
Call the hotline.
I did not get my flag. Name is Gray, Maggie Gray.
It's a person being like, please press 1 if you wanted a moron flag.
Like, click. Gotcha.
It'll be the second time a Maggie and Perloff host gets her hacked this week.
Oh. Ben Stiller ever get back to you?
Last week, but yeah.
Wound still fresh.
Sorry.
All right. See you guys on the phones. Hang, because we like these submissions you have. Who is the greatest college football player since the year 2000? I love all these. We'll get to you in a moment. It's Maggie and Perloff. Who is the greatest college football player since the year 2000? We are asking that question this morning. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. My choice for this exercise, It's Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is the greatest college football player since 2000. Perloff went with
Vince Young.
Let's
Hello.
Go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Levi's in Arkansas. Good morning, Levi.
Good morning, Maggie.
You probably
assume me being from Arkansas. Can someone, for the love of Cthulhu, please say Darren McFadden? I mean, this guy was trucking people. I mean, it was the funnest thing to watch. He also played quarterback a couple of times. You know, I think he originated the Wildcat here in Arkansas, at least. And then he was definitely second in the Heisman under your boy Tim Tebow 1 year. I think that was Tebow's second to win.
I think he came in second in the Heisman twice, didn't he?
Yeah, I think that sounds right, yeah. He didn't have a great pro career, but, man, was he great in college.
He's got the best highlight reel. He's like an 80s high. He's like Marcus Dupree. I love Darren McFadden. Yeah, it's funny.
Oh, man.
He probably should have made this list, actually. No joke.
No, I know. I can't believe he didn't. That's insane to me. But, yeah, totally, Darren McFadden is so much fun to watch. If you haven't watched his highlights, do it, and you will chuckle to death.
Levi, thank you so much. Calls from Arkansas, always welcome on this show. And we're excited to follow another Arkansas season.
Yes? Because there was another, they had another running back, too. I can't remember who Felix Jones was, I think, there with McFadden. Or they were both, they could have run back in the day. Yeah, if you're going to do fun running backs, then this list is very light.
It was McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillis.
Oh, man.
All on the same team. Chris is in California, has a nominee for us. Who is the greatest college football player since 2000? Hey, Chris.
Hey, it's got to be Christian McCaffrey. He got robbed for the Heisman by Derrick Henry. And, thanks.
Yeah, Chris, appreciate you. I remember interviewing Christian McCaffrey when he was in New York for the Heisman and then obviously went back to Stanford after that. McCaffrey was amazing. He's not on this list. He's an honorable mention. 2,000 yards from over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. I mean, he was great. I don't know what else to say.
Well, that's again, like...
Was he better than Reggie Bush, though? Was he better than Adrian Peterson? I don't think so.
So, I think that's... At the time, I thought it was a system. Stanford had all those great linemen. Toby Gerhardt had 2,028 rushing yards his senior year. I think he was second in Heisman, too, or he was close. So I thought, oh, McCaffrey's just another Stanford running back. They've had a lot of great running backs because that's all they do is they have great offensive lines and great running backs. Then he turned out to have a great pro career, which I think helps him. Like, did we really know Christian McCaffrey was a historic player at that point?
Well, he really was the Heisman.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't. Toby Gerhardt was arguably better. I mean, he was an all-time. I think Gerhardt was challenging like every possible record.
Who was the quarterback when Gerhardt was there, though?
I think one of them had luck.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was Kevin Hogan for McCaffrey's time at Stanford. Anyway, 855-212-4227. So Christian McCaffrey for the ESPN list was an honorable mention. He did not make the top 25, though. For Perloff and I, we'll go through our top three. I had Tebow 1, Reggie Bush 2, and Vince Young 3. And Perloff, your top three was what?
I went with Vince Young, Cam Newton, Joe Burrow.
There you go.
Tim Tebow 4, don't get mad at me.
855.
Anybody up there?
212-4227. Okay, so you're welcome to keep that coming and let us know what you think. I wanted to ask this question to the group. I've been into the Olympics. I mentioned I was tearing up yesterday watching the men's gymnastics. They got the bronze. Good for them. They had had a medal drought, Perloff, that had lasted from 2008. Here's a question, and it's a fun one, from our friend Julie Stewart-Binks, who's been covering the Olympics for Canadian television. And I ask you this. What sport do you think you could legitimately compete in at the Olympics if you had to today? If you had to, someone's like, quick, we need you. You've got to compete in this one sport, and it's got to be today. You cannot prep at all. Is there anything you could possibly do and not make a 100% complete fool out of yourself?
Archery.
You think what? You'd hit the target, EJ?
It's really far away, EJ. Have you ever been on one of those? It's really, really far away.
Well, I have one knee, so I'm going based off what's the thing I don't have to move, and maybe I could sit doing it, or I can't actually stand, so I can actually stand doing it, that's the one thing I think of where I don't have to move.
I mean, we could get you in the pool. Isn't that a lot of rehab stuff goes on as EJ's home?
Yeah, I think I may be months away from the pool rehab.
Well, if you got anything?
Yeah, I saw Snoop Dogg fencing.
Yeah.
And I felt like he held his own. If he has no training or experience, I think I could fence.
And who knows what's going on? And you're hidden behind a mask.
So. Yeah, and I mean, that is a sport of nerds, not the sport of kings. So there are a lot of Ivy League dork types who fence. I think I could compete.
My only prayer in this world would be if somehow I got blackout drunk and started breakdancing. And then I would have to like have something where I even surprise myself. Like somehow this is deep down in the recesses of my brain that if I took enough shots of Jägermeister or something and got onto a dance floor, maybe I could break.
I would say that every single Olympic sport, including Team USA women's basketball, you are furthest away from breaking, which I've seen the videos of them. Their athleticism, and you're a good athlete, you would be the single worst. I mean, no, you are so far. Wait till you see what these people can do.
Prof, it's the only thing they're that like we're drinking would help me. Like, I can't go have shots of Jägermeister and go try to return serves against somebody.
You'd probably be better at archery after 3 years.
Maybe.
We're all better at bowling.
That's true. We need that to be an Olympic sport.
Breaking. By the way, I could cancel the whole Olympics and go straight to breaking, and I'm fine.
855-212-4227. Coming up, what you need to know before the MLB trade deadline, which is in a few hours.